This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Making Biblical Family Life Practical. I'm Hal.
And I'm Melanie.
And we appreciate you joining us for another episode where we are trying to take biblical principles and put them to practical use in the average American family. And we're going to talk about something tonight which is really a pretty alarming thing.
Uncomfortable.
But it's a very critical thing. It's a thing that we all have to be aware of, and we have to really be dealing with. We need to be intentional about it.
Well, I think we have to be more aware of it than we really think, because I think we have a tendency to think, oh, not my little boy.
Mm-hmm.
But when we look at the statistics, well over 90% of boys have significant experience with porn by the time they're 18.
That's a sad truth. And it's different than when dad or mom were teenagers, okay? Our children are being exposed to things that just weren't available to us.
Well, they really weren't. And the level of depravity is much higher now than it was. And it's much more accessible. You know, I was kind of shocked to read that the biggest consumers of porn are boys 13 to 18.
Yeah. And a great deal of it doesn't require any credit card. It doesn't require payment. It is just out there. Because so much of it is bait, you know, this whole concept of a marketing funnel, the idea that you give a customer a free sample of something and then they'll be drawn deeper in and then you start to sell them things. And that's really, I tell you what, the biggest experts in e-commerce are pornographers. Yeah. They know how this works. They know the psychology. And so, you know, recognize that even the stuff that's on the outer fringes is way more than you want to be exposed to or that you want your kids to be exposed to. So we're going to talk tonight about danger signs, warning signs that you can look for and be aware of that somebody in your family, your son, maybe your daughter, that somebody in your family is watching pornography so that you can take effective steps to help them. It's not a matter of playing got you. It's not a matter of saying, I'm going to get them and nail them, but rather to say, I've got a family member who's in trouble and I want to be able to help them.
Well, you know, the thing is, this stuff is highly addictive. Mm-hmm. You know, the research that's coming out is showing that it really has the same addictive properties as alcohol or heroin.
Well, they have put people into MRIs, you know, to scan their brain activity and to see what, you know, what's happening when they experience certain stimulus. And they've tried alcohol. They have tried drugs of different sorts. And they also looked at compulsive gamblers.
Yeah.
They looked at compulsive video gamers, and they have looked at those who are watching pornography. And all of them, you see the same thing. You see the same characteristics, the same parts of their brain are being lit up. And you know what? It is addictive. And that's not something that we just use as a casual term. It is medically defined as an addictive thing.
And that's why it's so important that you recognize the signs, because even if they're convicted of their sin, they may not be able to stop on their own. They may need help. And so you've got to be there to recognize what's going on and to help them.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about danger signs that your children are watching porn. And we're going to be talking about little kids and big kids, because this is a problem. When we first started talking to this, most parents, how old do you think the kids were when parents would come up and start talking to us?
Generally, we heard from people that said maybe they're 16-year-old, you know, a mid to late teenagers, you know, that they said, yeah, we've caught him looking at this stuff, or we think he's got a problem. What do we do? But that was 5 years ago when we started talking about it, and it has become earlier and earlier to the point that people are saying, my 7-year-old is exposed to this. I caught my 8-year-old using our iPad to watch this kind of junk. You know, it's something that we've got to be aware of.
Yeah.
It's something that we have to recognize that there are things that can be done both to fence in our families somewhat, but to help them deal with it if they are getting trapped.
Well, every message we get starts out, I can't believe this. I have no idea. There were no signs. And now I found out that my son's involved in this stuff. The problem is, though, that when we talked to him, the signs were there. They just missed them.
Well, okay. One thing to be fair about, and I think this may be a comfort to some of you a little bit. Don't take too much in it, but I remember, you know, some of the spy novels written by James North. His main character talks about red flags, and he says they're not big red flags. It's just lots and lots and lots of little red flags. And when I see all these little red flags, well, you know what? The kind of things we're going to talk about here don't necessarily mean that anything is wrong. But if you see all of them, or you see a sudden increase in them, I mean, you start to see a pattern, then that clues you in. Maybe you need to ask some questions. Maybe you need to look a little deeper.
Well, one of the big warning signs in young children is a sudden interest in sexual topics that hasn't been there before and doesn't seem connected to anything in their lives. You know, mom's pregnant, they're going to ask questions about pregnancy. You know, if they hear something, if you're watching a movie and one of those scenes comes up, you don't hit the fast forward soon enough. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's normal. But when they're asking questions about things that just don't ring right to you,
something just out of the blue, and it's not what you would think of as normal. Curiosity for their age.
It might be expressed in a more mature way or with more mature words than you would expect. Mm-hmm. And so it pays to ask them privately, what brings that up? And to listen.
Oh, don't run screaming from the room?
No, not freak out.
Don't lower the boom on them as soon as it escaped? No, you ask questions because, honestly, you know, kids will hear things and they'll come home and they'll ask, Mama, what does this word mean? And they haven't a clue. They
don't know. And you want them to ask you. That's the thing. You really want them to ask you.
Don't ask Mr. Google. No,
yeah.
No.
And so, you know, be really friendly and welcoming of their questions, but watch their eyes. Mm-hmm. Because if you see shame or embarrassment or fear or guilt, that's a sign you need to talk about them some more. You need to figure out what's going on. Maybe they've been molested. The incidences of molestation have risen right along with pornography. You know, maybe they've seen something online that they didn't understand. It's disturbing them. And so watch their eyes when you talk. If it's all innocent and they, you know, they don't know what they're talking about, then just answer their questions in an age-appropriate way and move on.
Right.
Okay.
Now, something related to that is if they are using language that they didn't hear at home. You know, a parent, that's an old joke. Parents say, I don't know where the little blankety-blanks get such language. Well, okay. But there are things which you don't talk about at home. There's things that you don't say in front of the kids, or, you know, that you can't even allow yourself to think about these things. And when you hear them coming out of your 6 or 7 year old's mouth, you know, yeah, it's pretty panic inducing.
And so do you remember a while back a mom wrote us and she said that her 8 year old, I think it was, had a pen pal.
Yeah.
And that pen pal's mother sent her a very angry message and said, your son is not allowed to contact my son anymore. He said blank, blank, and blank. And it was some pretty shocking language.
Yeah. Are you thinking, my son said that? Yeah.
Well, it turns out the mother had given the child an old iPod and she didn't even realize it went online. And so he had been exposed to all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. And the first clue they got was him using this inappropriate language with his friend. So
if you hear them, again, not just the ideas, but language and slang that you know that they didn't pick up around your house, then that's a sign that they're getting it from somewhere else. And you do need to ask some more questions.
Again, with small children, another sign is that he seems to be touching himself a lot more than usual. Now, you know, this is not necessarily a sign of trouble by itself. None of these are.
No. And you can, you know what? You can deal with this the same way you deal with other embarrassing habits. You know, it's like you got a child who's always picking his nose. You say, son, get your fingers out of your nose. Knock it off. You don't do that in polite subject. Well, you know, the same thing. Hey, son, don't scratch yourself there. That's not polite. You don't do that in public or whatever. You know, you don't freak out. Just deal with it in a matter-of-fact manner, and you can train them, and that way you don't accuse them of something or make them feel guilty of something that perhaps they shouldn't feel guilty about. But it can be a clue that something may be amiss.
And when you're seeing several of these things especially.
Right.
Now, one thing you'll see with young children who've been exposed is they'll test the waters in talking to you. And this is true of kids that are molested too. They'll give you a little piece of it to see if you freak out. Mm-hmm. And so they might say, well, you know, I was at grandma's house and I saw a picture of a girl in a bathing suit and I knew you wouldn't want me to watch that. So I turned it off. Mm-hmm. You know, they're testing the waters a little bit. And so it's wise to talk to him a little bit more, to say, well, you know, I'm glad you did that. But, you know, sometimes we see things that are more than that online.
Mm-hmm.
And let's talk about what you can do if you do that. Have you ever seen anything like that? And kind of draw them out. Let them know you're not going to freak out, that you're on their side, that, yeah, you're going to call sin, sin, but that you're going to help them get out of it and away from it.
Well, and recognize, too, that young people, and I'll tell you what, this goes out through all life, when they encounter something that makes them feel uneasy, maybe they feel guilty about it, and maybe they shouldn't, maybe there's no need to, but if they do feel guilty about it, there's going to be a tendency to hide it. There's going to be a tendency to try to run away from it and conceal it. And sometimes they will make it a bigger deal than it needs to be. And so they need to know that, hey, mom is not going to lose her cool. Dad's not going to fly off the handle. I can ask him these questions, and I don't need to create things in my head that to worry about. He'll let me know if I need to worry about it.
Right.
Mom will explain it to me and tell me, hey, that's off bounds, out of bounds. Don't do that.
Absolutely critical to build trust with your kids in these areas so they come to you first, okay?
Right.
Now, the next ones are for older kids and younger kids, but this applies to everybody, the sudden change of activities when you walk up.
Yeah. And we've all seen this.
I saw this happen in our house yesterday.
Did you then?
Yes, I said, what you doing, to one of our children? And the fingers immediately went to the screen.
Uh-oh.
Mom says, give it here. Turns out this child was supposed to be doing an educational activity online and instead was watching a movie. But that's very typical for somebody who's doing something they're not supposed to be doing online. When someone goes near them, they start changing. The fingers go to the screen.
That was a good example, though, because that is a behavior that could be several different things.
Right.
It could be they're watching the seediest porn you've ever could imagine. Or it could be I was out cruising through Wikipedia when I was supposed to be doing a math test.
Right.
So it could be anything, but it could be a clue of something serious. So you, ask the question.
Again, you don't want to jump to hostility because you'll know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, a common question in our house is, hey, what you doing? And my older kids understand. What you want to do is you want to show mom the screen and say, oh, I'm doing math or I'm doing chemistry or I am not on Netflix.
Okay, now here's a tip. This can, and you may need to play this card if you're starting to ask the questions, if this is something that you've never done with your teenagers before, point out to them that if they're sitting across the room from you and they have their laptop open or they have their phone in their hand, you can't tell. All you can see is the lid of their laptop, or you can see the back of their hand, and you don't know, are they doing vocabulary drills, or are they watching something that, you know, they shouldn't be watching. And so you have to kind of point that out to them. Say, look at it from my perspective. All I see is the back of your laptop. I don't know what you're doing. I want to know, are you doing schoolwork? Are you finished with one subject, working on another one? Are you writing an email to your congressman? Or are you watching Star Trek reruns during school time? I can't tell. That all looks like the Apple logo to me. Okay. But again, okay,
yeah.
and of these things.
Well, you know, and one more is putting a password you don't know on his phone or becoming really protective of his phone or tablet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if your child freaks out if someone touches their tablet or, you know, doesn't want anybody to get near it or puts it face down when you walk into the room, you know, that's a sign that there's an issue.
Well, he's embarrassed about something.
Or he's paranoid because his siblings have messed up his phone. That's happened before. But it's a reason to ask a question. That's why all these warning signs, one of the warning signs, not that big a deal. All of them, you got a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take just a minute, though, before we go on, Hal, and mention that we have a book that is coming out in just about 3 weeks.
Yes. And you are going to want to write this down, okay? This book is called Love, Honor, and Virtue. What's not to love about that? It's called Love, Honor, and Virtue, but the subtitle is Gaining or Regaining a Biblical Attitude Towards Sexuality.
Yeah.
Okay? This is written for your young guys. This is written for young single guys, their
teens,
teenagers,
20s,
maybe early 20s,
yeah,
whoever, because it's meant to encourage them. Well, first off, give them good factual information about the biology of their developing sexuality, male or female. But this is really written with the guys in mind.
To give them a healthy attitude about it, and also to tell them, you know, why they need to avoid the trash stuff and how to get out of it if they're in it.
And see, that's why the subtitle, Gaining or Regaining, because you know what? Let's be honest. A lot of us, we think really highly of our kids. We've raised them carefully, right? And yet, when mom buys this book and gives it to her 16-year-old because it's about time he learns about this, what if he has been secretly watching pornography of the worst sort secretly for 3 years already?
That's what we're hearing all the time.
And see, he's going to feel like this is that horse left the barn a long time ago, and I can't even face it any longer. That's why we want to say regaining, because we want to encourage them. There is redemption, there is sanctification and purification. You can get back into where you need to be, but you got to face it. You got to deal with it biblically. And so that's why we've written this book. It's short. It's readable. It's written directly for your young guys. It's called Love, Honor, and Virtue. And you can find it by going to
RaisingRealMen.com/LHV.
Yes.
Now, before we get back to topic, Victoria asked, have you done a post or resource about protecting your kids as it relates to other people? Yeah, there's a lot of stuff on our site.
There's a lot. And we're going to give you a link to a whole page full of resources. Stick with us. We're going to come back to that in just a little bit.
Okay.
Now, let's talk about some other warning signs. We've been talking about things that might be red flags, not full halt, but time to perk up your ears a little bit.
Yeah.
And just ask, what's going on here? Is there something I need to be concerned about?
Okay, here's a big one. Mm-hmm. You see him online a lot. He's on his computer a lot. But when you check your filter, there's not much time online showing. Or the history is missing off his browser. You know, nobody hides their tracks unless they have something they want to hide. And if you see them online a lot, and then when you look at, like, we have Covenant Eyes.
Yes.
You know, and you can check that out at RaisingRealMen.com/safety. We have Covenant Eyes, and when I get my report, if I see that it shows he was online 1 hour today, and I saw him on the computer all day, I got a problem.
That ain't happening.
Doing something to get around the filter, and guys that age can figure it out sometimes. So watch out for covering their tracks, okay? Right.
Okay. How about changes in personality or changes in their behavior? You know, if you've had a very, very happy-go-lucky, kind of cheerful young man or young woman, because young girls are getting involved in this too. But if you see a child who's been a very happy, cheerful, kind of pleasant person, and they suddenly become secretive, they become irritable, they become very, you know, hostile sometimes, or depressed.
It's very common. The way this stuff works in our bodies is it causes your body to produce serotonin, which is kind of a happy hormone.
Yeah.
But it produces so much serotonin that your brain starts shutting down the receptors. And so not only does it drive you to watching more and more of it to get the same thrill, but the problem is when you're not watching it, your body is getting way less serotonin than it needs.
Mm-hmm.
And so people that are addicted to porn spend a lot of time depressed. They have lassitude. Mm-hmm. They're not interested in life.
Mm-hmm.
They lose their ambition.
Yeah.
And so you want to, if you see that your child suddenly changed behavior like that, you need to start asking questions.
And you know, all of these things have alternate explanations, you know, because a pre-adolescent goes through lots of mood swings.
Preteen, sometimes you see anger and depression.
But just keep an eye on this. If there's a sudden change of behavior or personality, particularly if they're under 10 years old before they hit adolescence, or if they're in, you know, 14, 15, 16 time frame when they're in late adolescence, they shouldn't be getting that moody. They shouldn't have a big shift all of a sudden. So watch out for that. Here's another one. Secrecy. Closed doors. If they spend a lot of time, you know, in their bedroom, or they seem to take forever in the bathroom or whatever, if they're spending a lot of time behind closed doors, like they're really trying to get away from everybody.
Because, not good. Well, it's addictive and you want to watch more and more and more of it. And so the time behind closed doors tends to increase. The kids are typically moved to masturbation at this time. And so they want a private place to do that. You're just seeing less and less of them.
You know, we've got one friend whose house is a special story. I'm not going to tell you the whole thing, but their children's bedrooms are quite small. I mean, there's very little in their children's bedrooms. Yeah. And we asked him about it one time, and he said, you know what? Our goal is we want our kids to be down with the family. There's no need for them to be up in their room all day long. Their desks are down here. Their school books are down here. You know, all of our activities and family stuff and all, it's down here in the main rooms. And so we don't, they don't spend time upstairs in the bedchamber, so to speak. You know, there's something to that.
Hang on, Deborah. We'll answer your question in just a minute, okay? Mm-hmm. Another one is he can't go to sleep without the phone in the bed with him. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, this is really typical because kids and adults that are addicted to porn often can't sleep without watching it and masturbating first.
Wow. Okay. That's sad. But that is addictive behavior, you know, and that's the kind of thing that happens. Okay. How about if they overreact to being offline? If you're going someplace and there's no Wi-Fi, or if you something happens and your network goes down and they just seem to go haywire on you, it's one thing to say, I'm bored. I can't watch my, you know, my favorite YouTube video. Rhett and Link. I'm going to get behind in my Rhett and Link viewing or something. All right. But if there's something that they seem like irrationally upset over the lack of internet.
Like one mom told us she took away her son's tablet as a punishment.
Yes.
And when she told him that, he ran into the kitchen and got a knife and threatened to kill himself.
Okay. Mom and Dad, if you're listening.
That is overreacting, okay?
Threats or suicidal behavior is not normal behavior.
It's no joke. And it's no joke. It's serious.
That is not normal. So, yes, be aware. Be alarmed. Be very alarmed.
Now, it seldom rises to that point, but if not having internet access makes your son frantic or furious, again, that's a red flag you want to watch out for.
Yeah.
You know, the problem is that each of these danger signs can be totally innocent by themselves, but if you're seeing a number of them, you need to be concerned. And the reason you need to be concerned is the likelihood is that during that 13, 18-year-old years, your child's going to be exposed to this. And we're hearing some pretty scary stories.
And, you know, it's like anything. It starts small. It starts with a misstep. It starts with a detour. And by the time somebody, you know, comes to their senses, they're already hooked. They've already got a medical dependence, a physical dependence on this thing. And it just kind of gets worse from there. And so you want to catch them when they start to wander off, when they start to kind of sniff around the fences, so to speak, to see if there's a weak spot. You want to catch them there. And something that should come up from all of this, you know, all of these things, we just gave you a whole list of things to watch out for, but every single one of them could have a totally innocent explanation. And you know what? That says something. You've got to talk about it.
You've got to have a relationship with your child.
You've got to have a conversation. You've got to have an ongoing talk. You know, somebody pointed out that the talk, you know, that we're going to have the talk about birds and the bees. That talk takes about 12 years.
Yeah, it really
actually
does.
More than that, because you should be starting when they are little bitty kids and then in an age-appropriate way to talking about this wonderful gift that God has given us and the wonderful things that happen in our bodies and also maybe some things that you might be tempted to do that you need to be aware of and to be away from.
Right up until the time they're ready to get married, this should be a normal topic of conversation with you and your kids. It's a huge protection to them. Listen, the problem is big. You know, over 80% of all boys 13 to 18 have seen not just normal sexuality in porn online, but what most of us would consider perversion. Mm-hmm. And when you're looking at numbers like that, then we've got to say, you know what? Our kids are at huge risk.
We've got
to be there for them.
It's easy to say, oh, the wrong kind of family, the wrong kind of people, the wrong part of whatever. But you know, when the numbers are that huge, that means, yes, even nice people like your family, our next door neighbor's family, we're all at risk. We're all tempted. And you know what? Even really nice people can get snagged by this. And it's kind of like we have friends who work in a ministry that deals with people with chemical addictions. And we met a lot of the people who are coming out of their program, and they had a hard fight. But, you know, most of those people were not heroin addicts that they pulled up out of the gutter. They were people who got addicted to the painkillers when they had back surgery, or they just went too far with their habits of something which might be permissible otherwise, and they got hooked. And you know what? That's what happens.
It is.
And it doesn't mean that you are any more awful than anybody else. If you're having to deal with this in your family, it just means that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
You know, maybe next week we should talk about what to do when you find out that your kid's involved in porn. Because, you know, I know that that's probably a question you've got. You're thinking, oh my word, I'm seeing a lot of these red signs in my family. What do I do next?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we had a good question. Deborah asked, my 17-year-old doesn't want to do anything but be on his tablet. How do I break this? Now, listen, it's different at different ages. At 11, you know, you say, you know what? You're spending too much time online. This is your limit. Bring me your tablet. And you put a password on it, and you give them the password when the schoolwork's done.
You know what? I have known people who changed the password on their Wi-Fi network every morning before the kids got up. And they weren't given the password to get online until they had finished their schoolwork and their chores.
That's a great idea.
You can do that, but you know.
But you know what? With a 17-year-old, you got to have buy-in. Because they are so close to being able to leave your home that if you just lay down the law,
mm-hmm.
You might
be able to control them for a year, but you know what? In a very short time, they'll be on their own. And they'll be eager to be on their own.
And so with a 17-year-old, you're going to need to sit down and have a serious conversation, a conversation where you express your love and your care and your concern and tell them, you know, I'm worried about you because you've got a year or two you're going to be on your own. Are you going to go to college? You know, are you going to, you know, get a job? Because our guys, we've had 4 kids go off to college and every one of them had friends that ended up dropping out of college because they were gaming or doing something on their tablets or their computers all the time.
Well, and that's the thing, you know, that part of that conversation, what are you doing online? You know, if they're learning, if they are researching things, if they're doing something productive, you know, that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's like we are, you know, we're writers and we do so much through our computers that people in our parents' generation, sometimes they look at it and say, well, these people are just on their computer all the time. They must obviously be playing because there's nothing you could be doing all day long on your computer. Yes, you can. I mean, because this replaces the whole office. This is our fax machine. This is our typewriter. This is our mail clerk. The whole office sits in our lap. So it looks like that. And maybe your son is doing something that is
profitable,
justifiable. But it's worth asking the question and it's worth sharing your concerns if there's any need for the concern.
And once you've shared your concerns, you give him that kind of reality talk about, you know, he's going to have to support himself. What is he going to do? Mm-hmm. And then help him, you know, help him find some activities that will prepare him for life. Get him some resources and help him start a business. You know, help him to find some real life stuff to do. Find him an internship in what he's interested in, or let him shadow someone in your church who does what he thinks he might want to do for a living.
Mm-hmm.
But the big thing is with a 17-year-old is reality. Help him, give him one of those reality talks. Help him to understand it's their life, and they're gonna have to do something with it.
Well, look, we are about out of time, and we need to sign off with a few resources here, but I do want to say, if you're listening to the podcast, because this is, after all, our podcast that we're recording, you may be saying, why are they answering questions? Well, we are also simulcasting this through Facebook Live. And so there's some actual feedback going on there. And
now,
so
if you're on Facebook Live, you can get our podcast, which we don't do on Facebook Live every week. Mm-hmm. You can get it on iTunes or go to the ultimatehomeschoolradioshow.com and you can download it there from the archives.
Yeah, the easy way to remember that is you can go to, we have a link that jumps over there, halandmelanie.com/radio, and that'll take you straight to our show page, and you'll have links to all of the other stuff.
Okay,
you need.
So now, resources.
Resources.
If you do not have some kind of accountability on every internet capable device in your home, get it now.
Yes.
And what we recommend is Covenant Eyes. You can support our ministry as well as get Covenant Eyes for 30 days free by going to raisingrealmen.com/safety. And it'll take you to Covenant Eyes in a way that blesses us and you.
And a whole bunch of resources, a bunch of blog posts, a bunch of links to other tools that'll be useful to you. If you go to raisingrealmen.com/purity.
Yes.
That is our resource page for teaching your sons about purity. And you'll find a lot of things you can use for your whole family's benefit. And
we'll put these links in the comments, okay?
Okay.
And our brand new book.
The book.
Love, Honor, and Virtue. You can hand it to your son and say, hey, babe, read this. And the feedback we're getting back with some of our test readers, mm-hmm. one 19-year-old said it was the best book he read all year. So go to raisingrealmen.com/LHV, mm-hmm. and you need to get your order in quickly if you want to get it in this first initial blast. It's coming out in just a few weeks.
And you know, they can also go directly to the book page by going simply to www.lovehonorandvirtue.com, and that'll link you right back to that page.
Okay, thank you for joining us, folks, and we're always grateful to talk to you and to hear from you.
Mm-hmm. And all of you that are watching live here in Facebook Live, we appreciate you being here. It's an experiment for us. I think we'll do it again. So thank you very much, and look for us again. Keep your eye on your Facebook feed. And if you're joining us through iTunes or any other channel with our regular podcast listeners, we do appreciate it. Thank you so much. You can join us again next week as we talk about taking biblical principles into everyday family life, making it a practical reality in your home. We're making biblical family life practical. I'm Hal.
And I'm Melanie.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye now.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HalandMelanie.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook/Hal and Melanie or Facebook.com/Raising Real Men. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.